morning, everyone, and Shavua Tov. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rabbi Avi Strasberg calling into you from DC. Good to see you guys back. So we are already in our fourth week. Hi, Bill. Our fourth week of Pirkei Avot. And it's amazing to be moving through these weeks. This week, I'm just going to jump right in here because we have a lot to do and I want to make sure we maximize our time. And so we're going to be starting with the first Mishnah of the fourth Perek. We're going to be looking at some statements from Ben Zoma. He's a second century Tana, so a rabbi living in the second century. And he's going to ask and answer some really profound and amazing questions. So the four questions we're going to be looking at, and I'll type them into the chat for you now, is who is wise, who is strong, who is rich, and who is honored? Okay, those are the four questions. And even before we share the link, or we could share the link, but before you open it, I just want you to take literally 2 minutes to jot down answers either for yourself, or I would love it if you would share them in your chat. When you think of what are the answers, how would you answer the question, who is wise? What's the answer? Who is strong? Who is rich and who is honored? I either want you to answer those questions from what you think the rabbis would say. If you were putting yourself in the minds of the rabbis, this is how they would answer the question of who is wise, who is strong, etc. Or if you want, if you feel compelled, you could share from your own perspective of if you were asked these questions, who is wise, what your answer would be. So just take literally 2 minutes to jot down answers to that, type them into the chat, and it'll be great for us to be able to refer back to your own answers, your impulses, either for how you think the rabbis would answer or for how you would answer through the rest of the session. Great. So Billy says, who is wise? Those with experience. It's an amazing answer, those with life experience. Good. So Rabbi Tamara says, someone who has gained wisdom and has put it into practice, which is interesting to see that two-part thing. It's not just about, and even the language of gaining wisdom, sort of the sense of gaining it through some sort of experience, it sounds like, but then also using that wisdom in some way. Interesting. Vilg is the answer. And those content with their lot. Ellen says, sees the world beyond him or herself. So important. Gail says, who is wise? He who knows he needs to learn more. Amazing. Who is strong? He who's willing to help others. Who is rich? He who does not want more. Who is honored? He contributes to the community. Billy says, who is strong? The one who is disciplined. Okay, so these are all great answers. I appreciate these. So we are going to jump into, you can see that, okay, so you've got the link there. If you want to click on the link, you've got the screen share. I'm doing what we did last time, which is that a lot of the commentaries we're going to be looking at are all sort of hyperlinked to the document. So you can, I'll tell you which words to click on, and then you can click on if you want to see the sort of the commentary we're looking at. Most of the commentary, once again, that we're going to be looking at today, we're still following the Maharal, a 16th century rabbi and commentator from Prague who has a commentary on Pirkei Avot. That's quite extensive. That's called Derech Chaim. So that's going to be our commentary today. Okay, so I'm jumping in. Pirkei Avot 4:1. Ben Zoma Omer, Ezehu Chacham, who is wise? So this is our first question. Halomed Mikol Hadam, the one who learns from everyone. Shene Emar, as it says in Tehillim, Mikol Milamdai Hiskalti Ki Edotecha Sichali. So in Tehillim, let's translate this as, from all those who have taught me, I became wise, for your decrees are a conversation to me, are a testimony to me. Interestingly enough, normally the way this is translated in Tehillim, if you look at, I don't have these on the page for you, but if you were to go exploring this, if you look at the commentary on Tehillim on this verse, this is normally the Ibn Ezra and the Malbim, two commentators, they translate this as, Mikol Milamdai Hiskalti, you could translate this as, from all of my teachers, I became wise. This is normally understood to be, from all who taught me, I became wiser. Like even from all of those, from my teachers, I am wiser than them. Why? Because I also have God's decrees or God's testimonies that are providing the sort of the conversation. That it's not just that I'm learning from human teachers, but I also have God beside me. And so I guess, so based on those commentaries, the way you would understand this in Tehillim, it's actually a comparative. Who is wise? It's A, the one who is learning from other people, but who specifically has God alongside of them as well. And in Tehillim, this is normally understood to be like, I am better than the rest because I also have God on my side. What's so interesting here is that the way the verse is being used, the way that Ben Zoma is using the verse, is he's saying it's not about comparing to other people. In Tehillim, it's about, I am wiser than all of those who taught me, based on those other commentaries. What Ben Zoma is saying is, I am wiser because I learned from everyone that it's specifically not about comparison. So Ezehu Chacham, who is wise, Helamed Mikol Adam, the one who learns from everyone. I just want to point out, I mean, I think that this is, you're interestingly, I think all of your sort of comments went to this. You could have imagined that the Chachamim, that the sages would say, who is wise, the one who masters all of Gemara by the age of 12, or the one who has some sort of encyclopedic memory and recall. And that's not at all the direction that Ben Soma goes, that wisdom is about the willingness to open yourself and to learn from everyone. Interestingly, one of you said in your comments, who is wise, the one who realizes that they have more yet to learn. I wanted to connect this text in our mind to the very first Mishnah, Pirkei Avot, where we were talking about the difference between Kibel and Masar, and that Moshe is Kibel because he wasn't actually able to understand everything, that even Moshe couldn't understand all of Torah. And then with the Mishnah there, if you remember, switches to the language of Masar, the transmitting, the complete handing over, everything they understood, they were able to pass on. And then we said later in the generations that begins to break down again, and it moves back to being Kibel, to being this sort of like incomplete transmission of handing over only what you got. And there we said that it's like what Rabbi Eliezer says in Masechet Sanhedrin. He says, that Rabbi Eliezer, the great Rabbi Eliezer, it even says that in the description there, Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol says, I learned a lot of Torah from my rabbis, but I only sort of, the only Torah that stuck with me is the amount of a dog licking at the sea. So this just reminded me of that, that part of what it means to be a chacham, even, you know, that the rabbis don't define chacham by how much I know and how much I remember, that there's a sense of even the greatest chacham only remembers a small amount of what they learn. And really what it means to be a chacham, according to Ben Zoma, is the willingness, the openness to learn from everyone. So I want to take a look there with you. If you click on the word chacham, we'll pull up the commentary on the Maharal. So the Maharal says there again, I'm going to read it in the Hebrew and I'll translate it for you. He says, V'zeh shamar ezehu chacham, so he says, who is the person who is chacham? This, the person who is fitting to call him chacham is the one who learns from everyone. Meaning what? The one who yearns after learning, meaning like from within and from within himself. Until that person learns from everyone. And it's so there, it's fitting that this person who's just so desirous of learning, this is the person that we call Chacham Bevadai, Shelo Ba'alo HaChokma B'mikre, because the learning, the wisdom doesn't come to him just by chance. The learning comes to him really because he sets up his whole life to be a person of learning. Rak Kasher Hu Haya Mistokek El HaChokma Achlema Mikol HaAdam. It's only the person who sets their, who's trying to yearn after the learning. Basically what he then goes on to say in the commentary, he says, you know, you might've thought, especially with the rabbi's relationship, the importance of the Talmid Rav relationship of the student rabbi, you might've thought, who is the chacham? You know, either the one who knows the most, which is not what Ben Zoma says, or the one who studies with the greatest rabbi. He says, that's not what it means to be a chacham. Because if it was really about, you know, the one who learns by the greatest rabbi, who has the most impressive mentor, that isn't coming from, the Maharal on this Mishnah is really interested in the language of mitzad atzmo, the attribute is something cultivating within and only within the person's self, that it's not, the attribute is not dependent upon someone else, right? That the attribute of wisdom, of who is wise, can't be dependent upon who is your teacher, that who is wise is dependent only upon yourself and your own attribute. So who is wise? According to Ben Zoma, according to the Maharal, it's the one who sort of yearns for learning and is cultivating in themselves a desire to learn. It's not at all about how much they have actually learned. Okay, we're going to go on. So next line, Ben Zoma asks, Ezehu Gibor, who is the one who is strong or mighty? Again, you could have imagined the rabbi saying all sorts of numbers. Think, you know, if you think about the military world they were living in, you know, it could be that mighty is about conquering your adversaries in the Beit Midrash, or conquering your military, whatever, or being whatever those sort of typical definitions. When you think of the word might or strong, there might be certain things that come to mind. That's not what he says. He says, who is mighty? Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh Et Yitzro, the one who is able to conquer Their yetzer, their inclination. So this is very much along the lines of what Billy was saying, that who is strong, the one who is disciplined there. How do we know this? Shine Emar, Tov Erech Apai Megibor, Umoshel Beruchho Miloked Ir. One that is slow to anger is better than the Gibor, than the mighty, and one that rules his spirit is better than one who can capture and take a city. And so there you see the rabbis really pushing back against an idea of vora, of might, that's about aggressiveness or militarism or about conquering someone else. That might, so often I think we think, what is gvora, what is might? It's about the ability to get someone else to do something else, about getting someone else to submit to my will. That's, I think, often a modern definition of strength or might. And here it's totally self-reflective. What is gvora? What is might or strength? It's about getting myself, submitting my own will to myself, conquering my own will. It's only in reflection to myself. It's not about someone else. And so again, if you click on the word gibor, you can see in the hyperlink there, again, the Maharal, he's going to be really focused on the language of mitzad atzmo, that the attribute, that all these attributes, the Maharal, really this is Ben Zoma, but the Maharal understands Ben Zoma defining these attributes. What does it mean to be chacham, ashir, gibor, any of these attributes? It has to be that it is only defined with respect to myself, that it's not defined in comparison to someone else. So much of the time we think, oh, I am only as smart as so-and-so. So-and-so is smarter than me. So-and-so has more money than me. That so often we are defining ourselves in respect to other people. And the Maharal says, no, that's not what's going on here. All the definitions that Ben Zoma is bringing, it's about saying, stop comparing yourself to other people. We're defining it mitzad atzmo only with respect to ourselves. So let's take a look at the Maharal there. So the Maharal there says, the Amar Gam Ken Ezegibor, Kilomar Shekol Hama'alot, Ra'ui Sheyu Nimtsa'i Mitzad Atzmo, Shabal Hamida, Velo Mitzad Hazulat. That all of these great attributes, it's fitting that they should be found or defined by the Bal Hamida, the owner of the attribute, Lo Mitzad Hazulat, and not defined by the person, the other person, the person who you're comparing yourself to. If we call someone mighty, the one who minatzeach, defeats someone else, if so, then the attribute, this positive attribute, is really defined in relationship to the one who is conquered and not the conqueror. And that doesn't at all leave an impression, that doesn't at all say anything about the one who did the conquering. The ein zed mitzad atzmo, mashaya menatzeach acher. And that definition of gibor, that's about, oh, that person's a gibor because they defeated someone else, that says more about the menutzach, about the one who was conquered, and doesn't really say anything about the menatzeach. Okay? And so then he's going to go on to say, and even one who defeats all, cities and all these different things, at the end of the day, that's all about the cities. That's all about the things they're conquering. We want to say something about the person themselves. And the only attribute of strength that can really be defined by the person themselves is the person's own ability to conquer sort of control their own yetzer. We'll just skip down to the last five lines in that commentary, the Maharal. So in the, five lines from the bottom, two words from the end. He says, Avala kovesha titzro, the one who conquers their own will, v'ze mitzad hadam atzmo, lo mitzad azulat. And the one who conquers their own will, this comes from the person themselves. It's not defined with respect to the person outside of themselves. U'bishvil kach ru'uy sheyikore gibor. And for this reason, it's fitting that they are called mighty. L'fichach amar eze gibor ze kovesha titzro. And therefore, it says, who is the gibor, the strength, the mighty one, the one who conquers their own will? And then he goes on to say, really powerful that all these, what we're going to see is consistently, how do we define these attributes? It's about being defined only with respect to what we have, not about comparing ourselves to other people. Okay, we're going to go on in here. So then he goes on to say, Eze hu ashir, who is rich, hasamech bechalko, the one who is happy and satisfied with their portion. And again, similarly, he's going to say, he asked the question very, if you want to click on the hyperlink for Ashir, he asked the question very poignantly. He says, you don't see this here, but he says, He says, this is sort of crazy. The Maharal says, who is rich? There's actually a really easy answer to the one who is rich, the one who has a lot of stuff, who has a lot of money. He says, this is really difficult. You might think that the answer to this would be the one who has a lot of money. And then he goes on to say, Ve'yesh lomar, here's the answer, ki ein ra'ui shiyet metu'ar ha'adam b'shem ashir, kasher yesh lo ribui mamon, asher hu be'otzer b'tevato. He says, it's actually not appropriate that a person would be described using the word ashir, rich, just because they have a lot of money in their storehouse or in their sort of treasury. Ki devar ze eino shayach el ha'adam, because this doesn't have anything to do with the person. Ve'ein ha'osher mitzad atzmo, and the wealth doesn't really, it's not something that comes from within them. Ve'ein ra'ui sheyikareh ashir b'shvil zeh, and it's not fitting that they would be called wealthy because of this. Rak mi shesamech b'chalko, kasher hu samech b'chalko, v'hu ashir b'da'at, zehu ha'ashir shehu ashir mitzad atzmo. The person who is happy with what they have, this happiness, and that they're wealthy sort of in their own mind, this is a person who is wealthy, that is wealthy, mitzad atzmo, from within and of themselves, not that they're dependent on some outside thing. So very strong that even something like wealth, which so often we think is being defined as, you know, the physical amount of money, how much do we have, or wealth compared to other people, he says also wealth you have to define only within and of respect to ourselves. We'll just read, we'll read one more because there's one more left. So we'll go on. And again, the proof text there for that is from Tehillim, Yagia kapecha ki tocha asrecha v'tovlach, that you shall enjoy the fruits of your labors, you shall be happy and you shall prosper. That the key there is asrecha. It's what, why is it good for you? Because you are happy and you actually enjoy what you have. Not that you work and work and work to get more and more and more, but you work and work and work and you're actually happy. You're sameach b'chako with what you have. Okay, last one that Ben Zoma says, Ezehu mechubad, who is the one who is honored? This is the hardest one. If the Maharal is making the claim that all these attributes have to be defined only with respect to ourselves and not with respect to other people, Ezehu mechubad, who is the one who is honored? By definition, it has something to do with other people, right? The definition of who is the one who is honored is about, presumably the answer is the one who is honored is the one who is, you know, honored by other people, that other people think they're amazing, other people think they're great for some reason. So this is going to be a really tricky one to make who is honored be only about us and have nothing to do with how other people see us or comparing ourselves to other people. Ezehu mechubad, who is the one who is honored? Hamechabed et habriyot. Who is the one who is honored? The one who honors other creatures and other people. Such a profound statement there. And what's our proof text from Shmuel? Ki mechabdai achabed uvozai yekalu. So this coming from God, for I honor those that honor me, and those who spurn me shall be dishonored. So that God is honoring those who honor God. The one who receives honor is the one who gives honor. I just think this is really such a strong statement. So much of the time, our standards of who we accord honor, who gets lifted up in our society, are so out of whack. People get lifted up for all sorts of reasons. The political power that they have, their gvura, their might, their ability to, impose their will on other people, or the money that they have that they can use, you know, all sorts, or family, whatever the things are. Some of the time when we honor people, we're not actually honoring people, according to Ben Zoma, for the right reasons. And here the definition of who is the one who is honored, it's the one who gives honor, who honors other people. And so to the Maharal for this is going to offer, he says, if you click on the mechubad that there, the link, he said, the fact that others honor him, that level of honor, this the attribute of honor, that has nothing to do, it doesn't have to do with the person themselves. It's not found in the person themselves. And it's appropriate that that attribute should be in the person themselves. Therefore, that's why it says, who is honored? The one who honors other people. And so this one is considered honored when he is with, when the honor is with him, when he's honoring other people. So a really strong statement about who should we be honoring and lifting up in society. We should be honoring the people that are doing the work of honoring other people. I want to look at one more thing together, just going on the question of Ezehu Ashir. So here, Ben Zoma gave us the definition: who is wealthy, the one who is happy with their own portion. If you look at this text from Masechet Shabbat, you see that it's not such an easy answer, that the rabbis continue to debate, you know, everyone, in the same way that I asked you who is wealthy, you all had different answers. The rabbis have different answers. So let's look at this teaching here from the Gemara of Shabbat. Tanu Rabbanan, the sages taught, Ezehu Ashir, who is wealthy, which is to say, remember that the Gemara is written after the Mishnah. So you might have thought that the case was closed in the Mishnah from 0 to 200 CE, but the rabbis retake up the question to offer their own answers. Kol sheyesh lo nachat ruach be'oshro, divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, anyone who receives pleasure, who receives sort of a pleasing feeling from the wealth that they had. So that, I think, sounds a little bit like Ben Zoma, of who is wealthy, everyone who is sameach bechalko, everyone who receives nachat ruach from what they have. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, kol sheyesh lo mea kramim o mea sadot o mea avadim sheovdim behem. A very different definition of wealth. Rabbi Tarfon says, anyone who has 100 vineyards and 100 fields and 100 slaves working from them. A very traditional definition of wealth. Interestingly, Rabbi Tarfon is known to be a very wealthy rabbi. So that's sort of also to say, not to say negative things about Rabbi Tarfon, he's also known to be a very, very generous with his money, that really takes care of other people, and in his mitzvot, in his performance of mitzvot, very generous with his performance of mitzvot, sort of putting all of his resources to it. But it's interesting that for one of the rabbis that we know to have been a rabbi of resource, that he defines wealth in this very typical sort of way about how much you have and how many servants you have to work those things. Rabbi Akiva Omer, who is wealthy, kol sheyesh lo isha na'ah b'ma'asim. Who is wealthy? One who has a wife who is pleasing in her deeds. So again, this is the definition of wealth that doesn't have to do with how much you have financially, but it's still dependent on sort of someone else, something outside of yourself. It's not mitzad atzmo, as the Maharal would say, but ultimately is about appreciating, I guess, the people in your life. You could say this as connected to Sameach Bechoko in the sense of, you know, who is wealthy, the one who appreciates and values the people that they have in their life. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol sheyesh lo beit hakiseh samuch l'shulchano. Everyone who has their bathroom is close to their table, is close to where they eat. This is an amazing definition, thinking about sort of like a world without modern plumbing, where you just have to get up and walk 1 foot to go to your pleasant indoor bathroom. But you might, in the world of the rabbis, have to, you know, if you had to relieve yourself, you might have to get up and walk outside the camp or find some private place or whatever this is. That what is true wealth? True wealth is having the bathroom, you know, so close to where you eat. That, like, that is, and I just think that there's something, I think, so real about that, of, you know, forget the money, forget the nice wife, like, I just need a bathroom close to my table. And I wonder about those things. What are those things for us, that it's, you know, the personal sort of idiosyncrasies of what does it mean for wealth in your life? Like, forget all those other things. Actually, what I need to feel really good is I need a really good pillow, or I need, you know, X, Y, or Z. I just need that bathroom close to me. Okay, so we're going to end there. For today, we have about 2 minutes. So I'd love to see if you have thoughts or responses. I'd love to see those. Just feel free to chat them into the chat, or if you want to unmute yourselves, you can do that. But just remember, we're running low on time. Any thoughts or responses before we close today? So Ellen says, this has always been one of my favorite parts of Pirkei Avot. It's a really good one. And I really like the Maharal on it. So I guess what I want to close with today, first is just a thank you for joining me for chapter 4. I want to close with the hope and the blessing that as we do the work, especially in this time period of the Omer, where we're building up from Pesach to Shavuot, as we're doing this work of trying to cultivate these positive attributes in ourselves and trying to get ourselves ready to receive the Torah, and going on, that we stop measuring ourselves, we stop comparing ourselves to other people. It's so, even if in one area of our life we manage to say, okay, I'm in this area, I'm not going to compare myself to other people, there's always those other areas of our lives where we still compare ourselves, where we judge ourselves based on other people in our lives. And I think what Ben Zoman, what the Maharal are really pushing us to do, is just stop comparing yourself. What it means to be happy, what it means to be wealthy, what it means to be powerful, it all, it's all about something that we can control within ourselves and not about other people. So that's my hope. Yasher Koach, and thank you to all of you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you next week for chapter 5.